It's a very good afternoon, good evening, Sanbonani, Dumelang, Absheni, Molweni, Bonjour, from Cape to Cairo, New Zealand, Germany, wherever you are on the globe. Welcome to Mjolo and Sex Podcast. Here speaking is your boy Mlungisi Simbela, the most handsome 31-year-old on the side of the equator, the most handsome guy in the Chiskop. I'm looking fresh today. I don't know why, but another person who's looking maybe twice, if not thrice, as fresh as I am. So they have a beautiful, shining, glowing, too many adjectives. So little time to go through them. Oskumi, hi.
Hi, Mlu. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. Are you good?
Yes. I'm on my hot winter girl steam.
Yeah. We're going to be posting some pictures today. We've got a cameraman in the studio today. So we decided to look extra fresh. So yeah, we're going to be posting some couple of pictures. Look out for them. Khumi will share our social media platforms where you're going to be get to see the most handsome and the bangles and everything else later on in the show. Oskumi, what are we talking about today?
Now, in the past few weeks, in the past few days, rather, the whole country has been abuzz with this topic, yeah, polyandry.
Yes.
This after now government published a green paper on the Marriage Act. Mm-hmm. When they amended, because they felt that it wasn't equal. And one of the things that they felt needed to be equal was, you know, polyandry, which is now women marrying more than one man.
Yes.
So now, on the back of that, we are going to be unpacking whether marriage in today's context, in today's society, is relevant. Is marriage relevant in today's society?
Look, people fight and sit. People cohabit is the word.
Cohabitate.
So we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about is marriage relevant in the social context? Can we still say I do till death do us part in the world that we live in today? Some staggering information and some staggering statistics came out this week, and so we're going to be engaging with our resident expert who's going to be helping us unpack this and much more. On the line we have our very, very cool, very, very charming, very, very amazing psychologist JP Mueller, who's going to be helping unpack this conversation further. JP, welcome to Mjolo and Sex Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much.
Are you well, JP?
I'm very well, thanks. And you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. JP, we're talking about, is marriage in this social context still relevant? JP, yesterday, and I kid you not, yesterday some staggering numbers came out. Apparently since level 4, South African divorce rate is up by 24%. So this now begs me to ask this question, and this is the question that we're asking in today's show. Is marriage still relevant in today's social context? Is the process of saying I do till death do us part still something that people want to do? JP?
Yeah, so the stats are very interesting. When we talk about the whole people keep, and why the divorce rate went up in China, especially through lockdown.
JP?
But just very can you hear me?
Yeah, our line was doing a funny thing there. Okay, just please go again. You were talking about China.
Okay, so during lockdown, their divorce rate also went up. And in a previous episode, we spoke about exactly this.
Yes.
So we spoke about during lockdown, all the bad things come up of that person. That was okay, but you went to work, so it didn't really bother you. Where now you were in each other's company the whole time, so it bothers you, and then bam, divorce. Now, Bill Gates got divorced.
Yep.
The Queen, husband died. Now people even made jokes and said maybe these two had this planned all along.
Yes.
So these things happen, and over generations, we look at different things. So we call it the silent generation. They were born in the 1900s to about 1930s. They were married before the age of 23, and their women had three times as many babies as the average woman today. Okay?
Yeah.
And then also then, this was the 1931 to 1935 people who we called, and then the baby boomers, who became just after them in the 1946 to 1964. Then after that, we know Generation X was born in 1965 to 1980, and they married before the age of 30 because they believe if they don't marry before the age of 30, they can't have children because of all the environmental influences.
Yeah.
And then we got to Generation X. They were born now after the 1970s, and they believe that you are allowed to divorce when it's necessary. But 70% of the Generation X people are still married today. So then we millennials came all of a sudden, born 1981 to 1998, and we believe we should marry later. We're not going to do this early. So you can even be, and they say, yeah, one in three millennials are still unmarried at the age of 40.
Yes.
So we believe we should stay together first to see if things work. We believe we must be financially stable, both parties, before we go into a marriage.
Mm.
And this is interesting. And also the divorce rate, for us, we believe we can divorce. We, some generations before us said, no, 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 you never divorce. That's a sin. You
Absolutely.
Don't do that.
Absolutely.
Now, JP, it's so interesting that it's interesting that you mention divorce, because I've picked up that with a lot of millennials, they don't mind getting into marriage because they know that should it not work out. Unlike our parents' generation, they know that should it not work out, divorce is an option. Whereas with our parents, it was never an option.
Yeah.
Is this why now the divorce statistics are as high as they are? Because there is that option that it's there, you know. The minute, even before you get married, you know that should things not work out, you have that option. You can step through that door. Unlike our parents, when they got married, they knew that it was forever, that you had to stick it out until the end. Whereas now, I know that should it not last after 2 years, I have the option of getting divorced. Do you then think that's why now marriage has taken the direction that it has taken, and the divorce statistics are as high as they are?
I definitely do think so for me. And the thing is, also, it's too easy. You have the reasons why you divorce on the court judgment, but you can even say for miscellaneous, for any reason you divorce. So it's not that you have to say it was because of finances or because of this or because of that. You can even say we just disagreed on a lot of things, that's why we divorced. So a lot of people argue and say it's too easy to get divorced.
JP.
And then a lot of people want financial stability now. Some say they actually look for the right qualities in someone, and some people feel they are too young to settle down currently. So now Generation Z even said that they only want to meet and pre-date people through friends, because if you find them in any other settings, then it's probably not somebody who you can walk the long line with, who you can go into a marriage with.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting how we all want different things in different different generations. And then also because now all of these things change. What is marriage? A polygamy is fine, and you don't even need a contractual marriage for that. If you're only traditional married, but you don't want the paper marriage, what then? Some ladies prefer not to do the paper marriage because they have to change everything else, their practice name and surname, their ID numbers, their bank statements and emails and things. There are so many other influences around that. So then a lot of ladies say, let's not do the paper marriage. Let's just say we're married and do maybe a traditional get-together. So it's very interesting how the times have changed.
Oh, the times have really changed. JP, allow me to ask you this. You know, my late grandmother used to say, we are the informed, we are the liberated, we are the generation of access. But whilst we did get that access to a whole lot of things, we became the microwave generation in terms of everything that we do is quick and instant. Our careers, our dreams, our goals, our aspirations are as quick as how we put in and how we put out.
And maybe yes,
and I was going to that instant gratification, and it seems to have spooled over to the relationship where we're looking for everything that is done, everything that is completed, everything that is easy, everything that is done for us and is put on a silver platter. Do you think part of the reason why marriage would be seen as being irrelevant is because we do not understand that a marriage, I was talking to Humi early on, is a building process. So it's not a finished product. It is a building process that continues to be built until death do us part.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And as we spoke before about the honeymoon phase of your relationship, you just meet each other. The first 3 months, amazing. You get to know each other. It's interesting. It's fun. And then after that, how are you going to keep having fun? Because then the challenges are going to arise. Where are we going to stay? The financial implications. If we have children, do you want children? And what is a marriage? Because is it a real relationship or can it be a polygamy where you have 10 wives? Is that also okay? Is it also seen as marriage? So the what is marriage and what that relationship means to you? And also then, if you cheat, what is cheating? And if it's not cheating but a polygamy and you may have other partners. So I think that's a very good point that you're making. What's the definition of marriage to you? Is it just that piece of paper? Or is it like, we are going to have challenges, but you know what? We'll learn from each other through the challenges and build our relationship so that we can become a family.
JP, I mean, before Humi goes with a final question, what have you learned? I'm assuming you've had people come to you and consult with you. What is the diagnostic report that you can have in terms of marriage in South Africa? What are people saying? What are we getting right and what are we getting wrong?
I think what people in their minds have in the idea of a movie marriage. Within 2 hours, you meet, you greet, you marry,
you have
a family.
You're touching Humi's spots here.
I've been saying that marriages have been romanticized because of movies.
Super. And even if you watch my Big Fat Greek Wedding or things like that, it's still, there are complications, but it's just a nice side that everyone sees. The tiff, but it's great and love and roses and everything's just great. And that's not always how it is. We now look at who's the breadwinner, who gets more money and then that's right or wrong. Then we look at who is your friend. What is your face on Facebook and how do you look on Facebook and appear on social media and then how are you in real life? We're not only just natural selection anymore. Are you going to be a good someone to help me build my next generation for me to go forward? Yeah. It's not like that anymore. And it's also, as you said, it's not like let's invest in this relationship. It's more like if we have trouble, I can move on to someone else quick. It's not a problem. So what is this marriage thing? Is it a ring or is it a relationship? Ooh. Is it a family or what does it mean to each person? And I think that's kind of where South Africa must rethink what their idea of it is. And based on that, see if the spouse agrees or disagrees.
Sure.
Now, JP, there's this misconception in society that all women want to get married, which is untrue, because not all women want to get married. Some just want companionship, you know. And that companionship does not necessarily have to come with a ring or with somebody's last name. So now my question is, how then, as a woman, do you communicate that to your partner to say, I am at this point in my life where I might not necessarily want to have a ring and your last name, but I want us to get, I want us to spend the rest of our lives together. How then do you initiate that conversation?
Or phrase it, for that matter.
Because society seems to think that women want to get married. That's the ultimate goal, you know. So how do you then communicate to that person that that's not necessarily what I want? This is what I want. I just want us to spend the rest of our lives together.
Yeah. That is a very hard question to answer because each spouse is different. So I can tell you, with this person, you can go and sit with them at a restaurant and then say, so this is how I feel about friendship, and I want our friendship to be so close. I don't want you to cheat, but I don't want us to get married. And then discuss what you think this relationship is, on whatever name you want to give it. You don't want to give it a marriage, give it another name, a friendship, a spouse, a partnership, whatever you want to then share with that person. But I think the defining part of it needs to be on how that person is want you to approach them. So maybe they want it in, please talk to me and discuss it with me. Other people will be like, don't tell me, it's fine. I'll enjoy all the fun things, and when I ask you to get married and you say no, then I'm going to leave you. Other people will be like, write me a letter and tell me in the letter how you feel, and or a WhatsApp or a email. So it depends on person to person on how they want to receive it, and then also in what way you say it. I think it must come from, I love you and I care for you, and this is why I want to tell you what I expect out of this relationship, and not a tacky, I know you want to get married and I don't want to, because I think then it's just fire going to create more fire.
Yo, look, JP, I take you to be our lawfully wedded expert till death do us part.
Wow.
Yes,
thank you.
A marriage made in heaven.
And so we pronounce us as husbands and wives.
Wow.
See what I did there.
If we had a boop, 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 we'd do a boop, boop, boop right now. But a big thank you to you, JP. Look, I mean, it's a conversation. It's such a multi-layered conversation. And we really, in the wake of polyandry and in the wake of marriage, we wanted to really have this conversation around marriage and the social context and the relevance that it has, to our country. And it's so amazing to hear that we still have people like you that we can knock to get that insight and to get some sense and to try to figure out this whole concept as we do that. Thank you so much, JP.
Awesome. Thanks for the opportunity again to talk to you guys. It was amazing.
Cheers,
thank
JP.
You, JP.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yo, Khumi. Look, part of me says, Khumi, we need a part two. Just to get another voice, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
A marriage counselor, a minister, or someone like that. Just to maybe, because now we spoke to an expert, and they deal, with either black and white, you know.
Yeah.
We need somebody just gonna maybe just swim at the middle and sort of guide this particular conversation.
Yeah, because initially marriage is grounded in the church.
Yeah.
You know, when you get married, you invite God.
Or whoever that you believe in.
Or whoever that you believe in to be a part of that union.
Yeah.
You know, so we need other voices to say whether this is still relevant or not.
Yeah, and should we still do it or not?
We should still do it. I believe we should still do it. Like, marriage is still relevant, you know. It's just that now, with the changing times, obviously my marriage is not going to be the same as my parents'.
Yeah, and the next person's.
Yes, because the times are different.
True.
Because the circumstances are different.
Yeah.
You know, when my parents got married, the climate of the country was different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when my friend got married a few years ago, her circumstances were different from mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's I personally feel that marriage is still relevant, but the rules that govern it have changed because times keep changing. And we need to accept that times are changing, and we need to embrace this change.
Mm-hmm. But also, I think finally, we need to understand. And I think in all these episodes, I think in the last episode we were talking about polyandry, Mkulu articulated beautifully. We need to understand that there are certain things that are not going to be meant for us, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Some people, marriage is not meant for them, exactly. Right? And who are we to judge? For some people, you know, they will continue to marry and divorce and marry and divorce. It doesn't make them any less of human beings or dirty in that sense. It really just simply means that we have so much work that we need to do as far as understanding this concept of relationship goes.
And also, with the changing times, I'm going to go back to the changing times now. With the changing times, it does not mean just because we are now living in the 22nd century?
Yeah, I think so.
Or are we still in the 21st century?
No, we passed the 21st.
Oh, so we're in the 22nd century. Just because we are now living in this new century and this technology and everything is different, does not mean that we have to lose our identity as African people.
I fully agree.
The very same principles that governed marriage
for years and centuries.
For centuries and centuries. Those African principles, they were there for a reason.
Yep.
Just because we are now living in modern times does not mean we have to completely lose them and eradicate them and then rewrite the book.
Sure.
I think that's going to now do more harm for us as an African people than it's going to do good. You know, it's great to embrace all these Western ideas and everything else, but we must, at the core of all of that, must be our African ideals to say, the reason I get married is because
kinyakwagalapa
okay. This person.
Yo.
It's not about aesthetics.
Yes, I suddenly heard, I'm an African. I owe my being to the mountains, to the rivers.
I was about to
and
preach.
A certain president said that. But again, where we also owe our being to is our social media platforms. Also, where can people interact with us?
People can find us on Facebook.
Yes.
Daily Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can follow us on Twitter at Daily Sun SA. Or alternatively, they can find us on www.dailysun.co.za.
It's /Mjolo, and you're going to get to see all our episodes. And all our craziness. Once again, a big thank you to JP. A big thank you to you for listening. Guys, we are fast approaching the 50,000 downloads mark. It is again because of you. And we say thank you for downloading, for listening to all this craziness that we project throughout the show. We do it for you. Big thank you to you. But once again, it is the silly season. It is the cold season where everything comes together. Guys, please make sure when everything comes together, we are safe and we are doing it with condoms.
I know. It's fine, but keep it strapped.
I love it, guys. Keep it strapped and keep it safe, guys. We're dealing with one pandemic. We don't want to deal with the other.
Yeah.
Again, big thank you to JP. Big thank you to you for listening. Once again, from me, Mlungu Simbelo, the most handsome 31-year-old on the side of the equator, the most handsome guy in a cheese squad from here till the eternal life, Baba.
And for me, who still does not have a cool outro.
Oh, her Bengals bid you a farewell.
Yeah, my Bengals retired. They were also bored, so they retired.
Wow, it's love and light, everybody.
Be kind to one another.
Peace.